Hey, we're all set here. Screw man, hit the four-hour endorsement. Thanks for listening, everybody. My microphone's going up and down, up and down. There we go. It is Sunday. One hell of a football game we saw, right?
Boo.
Yeah. What do you mean, boo? It was a lot of fun.
You know, it was funny. I was at the game, and they tried to do the go, pack, go. And all the Vikings fans were saying, go back home.
was there a go Brandon thing or whatever the hell
Let's
was
go
called?
Brandon.
Let's go Brandon. That wasn't there either.
I was shouting it.
Fun week. Boy, a lot of fun. But thanks for everybody listening to the four-hour doorsman. I'll tell you what, I got a big shout-out to a young lady named Siri.
Beautiful.
Siri, I'm serious. She is hot. And her show name, I guess,
how unfortunate to be named Siri before Siri came out, though.
Really?
You need to what do they call that? Self-name title, soundtrack, and just call it Hey Siri.
No. Yeah, Hey Siri.
I have a friend with a daughter, Alexa, as well. So it's like, you know, you just can't get that software then because you're, hey, we know. I shouldn't even say it over the radio.
These people don't even know who I'm talking about. We're talking about, I guess her show name, I guess it's called Humbird, I think, and she was on the Homegrown show with Brandon just a couple of minutes ago. Very, very, very good.
Beautiful
Very
voice.
Talented. It was fun listening on the way here. My gorgeous wife, Diana, listens to the Homegrown show every Sunday before this show. And she will text me the very, very same thing, I assure you. So thanks for being on the Homegrown show. You are the kind of singer that makes Brandon look good. So thanks for being here. Hey, how's your week going? Sam is next to me. Mark is next to him. And Brandon is behind the glass. Sambo just went to the Vikings game, right?
I did. Thanks to my brother Pete for an awesome birthday gift. He brought me and my dad, Brian, to the Vikings game. And it was a fun game. Like, you know, you going in there like thinking, okay, you know, we're 4-5. Or Aaron Rodgers is going to have his way. But it was an action-packed game. I'd have been happy either way, but we pulled it off.
Yeah, I'm like you. It's the journey, not the destination.
Yep.
If we won, fine. If we didn't win, fine. My life does not revolve around that because we're not going to win the Super Bowl anyway. I don't think, but what I saw, I didn't see the whole thing. What I saw was very good. Mark.
There was a time in my life where a game like that would ruin my entire weekend.
I hear you.
And I can't let that happen to me. I don't care about sports as much as I did, obviously. But, yeah, it would honestly ruin my day, ruin my weekend. You'd be grumpy, and I just can't let that happen to me anymore.
That, Mark, was back when sports were just sports.
That's right.
Now it's sports
right.
are into everything, and it ruins it. But, yeah, it was a fun game, super action-packed. I had a good time. What'd you do this weekend?
Oh, I did a lot. I mean, the whole weekend was very active. Mark and I talked about it on the way here. Let's see. We went to a dinner on Wednesday with F&M Bank, a Thanksgiving dinner, which was really nice of them, and played some bingo with a bunch of old farts. That was a lot of fun. Then we went to a show called Motown Christmas Music at the Ames Center in Burnsville. If you've never been to that center to listen to any kind of music, it was wonderful. They had two of the singers were from the original Imperials, long before your time, and two were from the Temptations, and they sang the old Motown things. You know,
I love that.
It was Marvin Gaye and all this, and they dressed up in different colored suits, and they did the choreograph as well. Like it was just,
I would have loved
that. That was 2.5 hours, a great show. Then Friday night, Dinah and I went to MasterChef Junior, a live performance at the State Theater downtown Minneapolis. And we were supposed to take our grandkids. That didn't happen. So, heck, we went by ourselves, had a great time. And Saturday, I went to the Zephyr football game. And, a lot of stuff going on, yeah. So, pretty blessed. Boy.
Real quick,
yep.
I know this is outdoor radio. We always say this. But the music thing brought this to my attention. I believe our first ride to Devil's Lake, you told me about this documentary. And Kirsten was at her women's Bible group one night this week, and I stumbled upon it. Muscle Shoals.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I saw that, too. Yeah, it was fantastic.
What a phenomenal.
Nobody knew about Muscle Shoals until Muscle Shoals came out. It is an amazing. And Brandon knows exactly what we're talking about.
Excellent documentary. Another one you should check out is The Wrecking Crew.
Yeah.
It's a great documentary. And then Hired Gun is another good one.
It's all about background singers, that kind of thing. And making. But, yeah, the whole town of Muscle Shoals, a good friend of mine from softball, he turned me onto it, and he gave me the CD the CD before I had a chance to even know there was a documentary.
Yeah,
and I remember I love it the first time. One of the black entertainers comes in. It might have been it's irrelevant, I guess. Comes in to do some taping down there in a town called Muscle Shoals. Didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah,
and he walks in and goes, where's my band? Where's my band? Right over there,
Wilson Pickett.
Right over there, Wilson Pickett. He said, what, these white guys? You mean all the music I've been hearing all these years is white guys?
Yeah.
And there was, and they're just local guys working 40 hours a week, regular jobs. Yeah. It is an amazing documentary.
If you look at all like the number one singles that were recorded there, it's like could stack up to the ceiling.
Yeah,
it's insane. I actually, what reminded me of it, I was watching that new movie with Jennifer Hudson, Aretha Franklin. And she was one of the big ones that went there originally, and she sat down, same thing, and like her husband was her manager, like ticked that this was the band, and then they started playing, and she was like, get out of the studio.
That has to be a good movie, right, the Aretha?
Oh, very good.
Yeah, it's good. That's fun.
Mark, what'd you do outdoors?
I know Aretha Franklin did some outdoor concerts, I think. Mark,
good segue.
Mark just came back from pigeon hunting, right?
Yeah, so I got to go to the Horse and Hunt Club in Prior Lake on Thursday with a bunch of clients. That's something we do occasionally, is take some of our bigger clients out. And normally we do a pheasant hunt, but we decided to do something different, and I've never done it, so I was excited to do it. It was a European pigeon shoot.
So do you just shoot them off the electrical wire when they're
there? Sometimes.
One at a time with a pea shooter.
It's an interesting experience. I'll explain it to the best of my ability, but it was fun. So there's basically a grove that's on a small hill. There's three guys in pickup trucks throwing pigeons in the middle, and they go every which way. The entire hill is surrounded. There was probably 50 shooters. We're all probably 30, 40 feet away from each other, surrounding this entire grove. And so they'd throw pigeons in different directions. Sometimes they'd go right where they throw them. Sometimes they'd go up. Sometimes they would jet. It was a madhouse.
Was it fun?
It was so much fun. I went through four boxes of shells.
Oh, wow.
Because...
That's 100 rounds.
I had no idea.
That's a lot of money, right?
Yeah.
I had no idea how many pigeons were going to be coming out. And especially at the first, I was downwind, and they were really high, right?
Sure.
And they're smaller birds than a pheasant. So, and the guide's like, just go for it. It's hard to bring these things down, harder than you could think. Just take shots you wouldn't normally shoot hunting, right?
Right. They have to be faster than a pheasant, too.
Well, it was really windy, so they were hauling.
Yeah.
They are faster than a pheasant. But anyway, so I'm just taking sky blast prayer shots at everything passing over me. And, you know, it was fun. They're really tough birds.
Yeah.
Like, I hit a couple, two, three times, feathers flying, and it didn't even faze them. You know what
Crazy.
I mean?
Crazy.
So it was so much fun, but some of them would land and just kind of walk, and you know, someone would land in trees, someone would come right at you, and the ones
that were walking, they probably picked them up in downtown Minneapolis. They were just looking for
exactly.
a couple.
So you're telling me that somebody just threw a bunch of pigeons into the air for you to shoot?
Yes.
And that was it.
Well, it was.
Did you clean them and eat them?
No, they piled them up. I have no idea what they do with the pigeons. I thought my running joke was I was going to put a statue in front of me, you know, like downtown, and all the pigeons would land there.
Yeah.
Because they have to crap on it.
Yeah. But no, you'd be the statue.
Yeah, a George Washington statue.
Yeah,
it's like Home Alone.
Yeah.
Like when
the pigeon lady.
Yeah, Kevin meets the pigeon
so
lady.
So anyway, other interesting story is
funny.
When I was shooting so much, I have a Winchester SX3, which is a great gun for me, but it's not top of the line by any means. But anyway, I've had it for a long time, and I like this gun. I started shooting it, and it started wobbling. The butt was getting loose.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, well, what do I do now? You know, it's like I don't have any tools with me.
Your bolt came unloose?
The interior bolt.
Yeah, the
right?
long bolt.
So I had no access to it. And so it started wobbling. Right when I got to the last station, I shot, and it completely came apart. Like, my gun exploded.
Dang pigeons.
Yeah, because I just shot so many shells at pigeons. But
the only thing white on his face were his eyes. You know? Yeah. All the smoke on your face.
So my day was done. I wasn't going to...
Were you able to fix it?
I haven't tried yet.
Do you want me to bring it in?
I really think there's a nut inside. I could hear it rattling around. I think all I have to do is pop the butt out, the rubber butt.
Yep.
And rubber butt, and then fasten the bolt on. If I can't figure it out, I will let you know, because I know that you are a resident gunsmith.
So what you'll need is about an 8-inch long standard flathead screwdriver. There is a long bolt inside that. You'll take the two screws off your rubber butt.
My rubber butt.
And you'll take that off, and it'll open up the cavity, and you'll see down in there, and then you just have to go right into your action. It's super easy.
So to take the rubber butt off.
Just a Phillips screwdriver.
There is actual screws holding that in. I thought it might be a pry, but you have to screw it.
No, they are not a. They shouldn't be a pry. They're sometimes on those rubber ones, the holes will close.
Yeah.
So you'll just kind of see where the slit is, and then you'll.
I see the holes.
Then push the screwdriver down in there, Phillips, and you'll get it.
Excellent.
Well, it might even be easier.
Well,
it might even be easier. Probably is just to go to a Sam's house in Coon Rapids, drop off the gun, and buy him dinner. That's what I would.
No, you don't.
I think I'd be able to fix. I've taken it apart before because I had to when I first bought it. There's little extensions, butt extensions, that you can put in, and so I have taken that part off at one point. Probably why it broke, but I think I can figure it out.
It is a gun fix that you'll feel very accomplished and very manly after you get it done.
You know what was weird, and I don't know why, but...
And afraid to shoot.
Yes.
When the bolt was loose, the action didn't work properly?
Oh, of course.
Is it because there was too much slack? Like
It's a semi-automatic. It needs it needs the stability
to
cycle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was experiencing some... Real there.
Friendly reminder for all our listeners too, on semi-automatics, a lot of the times when they stovepipe or aka jam, it's all based off of not a firm grip against your shoulder or in your pan.
So it's your fault.
Because if it's limp, you know, it needs, if your wrist is limp, it needs that action or that stiffness to cycle.
Excellent.
I don't know why you don't leave this show. You're the only guy who knows stuff in this
come
room.
On, give me
I'll tell
a little
you what,
credit here.
If Michael Scott was sitting over there, there would have been about five. That's what she says.
Hey, do you have experience with a muzzleloader?
Yes, sir, I do.
Like a mini ball or what?
Sure.
So my dad is bringing up a muzzleloader that he built. It's a Thompson Center something, but it's wood. It's an older – I mean, he did it in the 80s.
Is it
probably.
A Traditions?
I have no idea, but it looks like an old-timey muzzleloader.
If he built it, it's a Traditions Blackhawk.
I don't think that's what the name is, but it could be before that. Anyway, it hasn't been fired in 20-plus years, at least. I remember as a kid shooting it because the fun thing, I would go with my dad, and he would bring his muzzleloader because he just wanted to shoot one with a muzzleloader.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you can't leave the ball and powder in there, so you have to shoot it. Yep. So he'd let me shoot it. And it's a 50 caliber bullet, and I remember as a 12-year-old kid bracing myself
against a tree
click boom, and I remember shooting it at a pond and a big splash and how much fun it was, and I'm excited to do that, not only because my dad built a gun, which is cool,
right?
Granted, he didn't whittle it out of a tree; it was a kit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
When people say you build it, they're like, "So he forged the metal."
Yeah. Like the guy on. Meet the Fockers, whatever he built that. What did he build with a hunting knife? Whatever, you know that.
Yeah, oh yeah, a hopa.
Yeah.
I have a couple of questions for you, gun-wise. Does black powder go old?
Oh yeah.
It does, for real?
Sure.
So I need to buy new stuff.
Yes. You need to inspect that. We need to inspect the barrel, too.
Okay. I know that he would have cleaned it well, but yes, we should inspect it.
You just need to smell the muzzle and see if it smells like rotten eggs.
Really? What's that mean?
Just that, like, the black powder has sat there for so long, and if it smells like rotten eggs and there's a little, like, green coming out, like, she needs a good cleaning.
There's a chance that there could be critters in there after 20 years, you know.
So I should just buy new powder. Why even mess with it? Mm-hmm. My dad's like, it's still good, but...
Let him
shoot first.
Yeah. Good call.
Wait, Dad, sign this.
Of all the things that can go wrong while deer hunting, why have it be old powder that ruined your shot, you know?
People will sit and argue with me on that, but I am one that if it's sat for that long, you don't know... One, what happened to it? You know, I know it's your dad, but I just would rather be safe than sorry. Is it a flintlock?
No, it's percussion cap.
Okay.
Wow, I don't even know what that is.
It's a blunderbuss.
Okay. Is there a breech plug on it?
What is that?
Like on the back side, do you have to put a primer on it?
No.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
You'll have to... Let me know.
Maybe I'll come out on Friday.
Anyway, back. I'm going to go to the bar. I don't have... What the hell are you talking about? You guys don't need me.
Hey,
we were
and I were talking about music, and then we started talking about guns.
Let us talk guns for a while. You can have the rest of the show.
The guests will be on in 5 minutes, and you can talk. It's fine,
No, you don't need me.
I do need you.
But
you don't need a needle, needs a vein.
And you won't need when we have our first guest on either. Michael Waddell is going to be our first guest tonight.
I do need you.
The Bone Collector.
That's pretty exciting that we have one of the biggest stars in the outdoors television world on the hotline at all times.
Yeah.
We're kind of a big deal. I mean, you're kind of a big deal.
No, my brother just texted me, first time listener here. Just tell him to Google it.
That's true.
Is that like, from Pete?
Yeah.
There's no life lessons you can't learn on Google now.
Oh, yeah. I have a PhD in Google and YouTube.
Yeah. Even my dad's like, Google this to show you how to load it. I mean, I'm like, so on YouTube? He's like, I don't know. Just put it into Google. Like, I love you, Dad.
I actually had a permit to carry class on Friday, and I plug YouTube quite a bit because there are some really good resources, but you have to be careful because there's some very stupid people on there also.
Yeah.
I Googled this 2 days ago, I think it was. We're having issues with our faucet. We have a nice one-piece Kohler faucet with one handle on the side of it, and it's leaking between the handle and the faucet itself. And everything's supposed to be warrantied, but that means the part that you have to replace needs to be warrantied, and that's a cartridge inside that goes between the faucet and the faucet handle. But how do you get there? There's a little tool. The guy called it a hex wrench, yeah. And that's an Allen wrench.
It's like an Allen wrench.
I don't know what it was. So I got that. It wasn't working for me. And so I get on YouTube. I Googled how do you repair this kind of stuff, and I'm learning all about that. This is going to be taken care of. I couldn't get that Allen wrench or that screw out. I had my buddy Will Goble, the fishing plumber, come out, and even he couldn't get it out because something's wrong with when they put it together.
Yeah.
So Kohler's going to send me the part. I'll take care of that. But as we're working on that, then the P trap down below.
The J trap.
Is that a J? No, it's a P trap.
P trap.
M trap. Those never work.
Yeah. Anyway, it was leaking down there, and I thought, I got that together pretty well. I'm proud of myself. So Dinah was excited. You know, I rolled my sleeves up, and
nothing like that sense of accomplishment. That's what I was saying. Where this all started with fixing that buttstock.
Yep.
Like that is an awesome sense of accomplishment. Like, my gun broke in the field. I fixed it.
Yeah. Did you take it to a gunsmith? Nah, I fixed it in the shop.
No. Yeah. Go ahead, Mark. What do you got?
Well, I thought I'd do shout outs quick before our melee of guests. Thank you, everyone who wrote in this week's shout out. Please just comment on our shout out post every week. And if we can, we will get to it and read it. So thank you and happy Thanksgiving, everybody. But anyways, Twin Cities Walleyes Unlimited says, happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Looking forward to our December 2nd meeting with guest speaker Tony Roach. That'll be a great meeting. Craig Rudolph Jr. says, got a nice dough Friday. Still trying to find a buck. Simone Scherer, a good friend, says, was in South Dakota hunting pheasants with Dick Bramer and Caleb Thielbar last weekend. That is a great story, I bet. Two hunting roosters in Minnesota with the ladies. Bill Katz said, had a great time at the Hardwater Expo, met a lot of new friends. I have a great show, guys. P.S. Yes, I do have a new Katz product. We can't wait to hear about that next week, Bill. Justin Hansen says, set the hook like this, and he's referring to the picture that I posted today. Jesse Koskinimi says, I didn't see any legal bulls, just small ones. Weather was too warm and lack of snow here in Montana to get the bulls out of the timber, but I ended up with a beautiful 4x4 mule deer. And Corey Bechtold says had a blast at the expo showing off Macula Tackle. You saw him down there.
I did.
He seemed like he's doing well.
Nice young man.
So thanks for the support from everyone. Time to catch some fish. That's it.
Before
that's
break,
kind of stumbled through that one.
Mark, I don't think you went to the show, did you?
I did not. This is the first time in
Brandon
Strew.
How did the show go? I know, Brandon, you were there for a while.
Yeah, it was a good turnout. I saw and talked with Bill for a bit. He came out and joined me on my last cut-in for the live broadcast. But definitely looked like a good turnout. There was a lot of activity there,
I was only there for about a half an hour, maybe an hour this morning, and it was jammed. I was very, very impressed. And everybody was talking to the proprietors. Everybody was making some bucks and having a good time.
I tried to have Mike Brodzinski, who is like the sales director from there, also a kind of local hockey legend. But he was going to join me in one of the cut-ins, but couldn't get away. He was busy schmoozing and talking to people.
I talked to him a couple of times, and we have some mutual friends from softball. It was fun to talk to him. I said, I asked him to teach me how to be a big shot. He said, that ain't going to happen.
You can't be taught.
Well, you could have four boys in the NHL. That helps you be a big shot.
I got a shout-out that I didn't give. A shout-out to Sam for leading another great carry class at Hope Church this Friday.
Shout-out to Hope Church and Brandon.
That's where I came straight there from the Hardwater Expo.
We'll do it again in December.
Yeah, for sure.
Y'all set, buddy?
Yeah, let's do it.
Michael Waddell is next, the Bone Collector.
Now would be the time to check on the jerky. These smokers aren't going to tend themselves. You're listening to the Four Outdoorsmen on Bob Outdoors.
It's no secret that we love the city of Devil's Lake, North Dakota. Not just the thrill that comes with its unbelievable hunting and fishing, but everything that Devil's Lake has to offer. You can choose from nearly 30 restaurants, many hotel and motel options, a dozen campsites, theater, golfing, hiking, nearby casino, or just plain exploring. Walleyes and jumbo perch, well, they might draw you here, but Devil's Lake itself will keep you coming back. Hey, trust through me on this one. Visit devilslakend.com.
Clam Outdoors has something for every ice angler. Dave Gens created the original fish trap 40 years ago, and Clam continues to lead the industry with portable sled style and hub shelters today. Beyond ice shelters, Clam continues to bring new innovation and products to the sport. From ice fishing suits, cold weather gear, tackle, fishing line, accessories, rods, reels, and combos, and much more to add to your ice fishing arsenal. Check out the full line of ice fishing gear at clamoutdoors.com. Pursue the ice.
Tired of losing your valuables down the ice fishing hole? Our friend Bill Katz with BK Outdoors LLC has the most simple, affordable solution on the market. Katz covers are a strong polycarbonate hole cover you can stand on and fish through. Your phone, electronics, keys, kids, and pets can now be safe with this simple solution. Go to katzcovers.com. That's KATZKOVERZ.com. Made in Minnesota, a veteran-owned company, you can order yours directly or visit one of Bill's great retail partners to get yours now. Mark here, and soon the time will come to drop off my boat for a luxury winter spa vacation at Power Lodge. No, not mud baths and cucumbers. Expert winterization storage out of the elements for your boat, pontoon, or personal watercraft. There's still some fishing time left, but reserve your spot while there's room. Three locations ready to help you. Down the road from our studios off Highway 10 in Ramsey, Brainerd off Highway 371, and Onamia off Highway 169. Online at powerlodge.com.
Are you ready for some ice fishing? Neil Freeman here inviting you out for the Bob FM Winter Walleye Connection to Ballard's Resort. Yep, I'm hosting the trip again in 2022. It'll be Sunday, January 30th to Wednesday, February 2nd. A little different this year. We'll be staying 3 nights, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and coming back Wednesday, February 2nd. Should be back to Ramsey around 1 p.m. So here's the package for this year. Round trip coach transportation, 3 nights lodging, 2 days guided ice fishing, 9 meals, all your angling equipment, fish cleaning, sales and lodging tax. It's all included for one price of $650 per person. Now, our trip usually fills up. We're excited to be back on the bus this year, and I'd love you to go along. It's the Bob FM Ballard's Resort Ice Fishing Trip, Sunday, January 30th to Wednesday, February 2nd. To sign up, go to ballardsresort.com. That's ballardsresort.com, or call 800-776-2675. Come fishing with me to Ballard's Resort.
Early ice, northern pike, and Ely is the best. And Arrowhead Outdoors bait and tackle, well, they're going to help you find them. So whether it's pike, walleye, crappies, or trout, our friends at Arrowhead Outdoors are going to take care of you. If you've never fished lake or winter stream trout, Ely's the place, and Arrowhead Outdoors is the place to start. If you love fishing, hunting, hiking, this place truly is the best. Visit Arrowhead Outdoors, elymn.com, and thank you.
Panera believes in saying yes. Yes to clean, fresh ingredients. Yes to the new chicken sausage and pepperoni flatbread topped with rich mozzarella. Yes to delicious mac and cheese. Yes to putting it on a sandwich, creating the grilled mac and cheese sandwich. And yes to impromptu road trips to Sandwich, Illinois. Because that's living life to the flavor fullest. Get $1 delivery when you order on our app. Panera, live your yes. Pricing and product availability may vary. Visit PaneraBread.com.
There's confusion about how to protect yourself from COVID, but one thing is for sure. Whether or not you're vaccinated, you need an accurate thermometer. Contact your medical provider at the first sign of fever, the leading sign of COVID, and the flu. Only the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer has been proven accurate in more than 100 clinical studies. Be vigilant and don't rely on non-contact thermometers. They have little or no scientific studies behind them and may miss the fever that might mean COVID. Learn more at Exergen.com.
The world worst of times can bring out the best in each of us. Doctors, nurses, and frontline workers have labored selflessly to keep us safe during the health crisis of our lifetime. How do we thank these heroes? It's simple. Get your COVID vaccine so we can end this pandemic. Variants are on the rise, and we don't want to put these heroes through another health crisis. They have given their all. Now it's up to you. Please do your part. For you, for them, for us.
This message sponsored by the Helmsley Charitable Trust, aired with the Minnesota Broadcasters Association in this station.
Total Country Bob FM.
Hey, we're back. We're having some fun on the Four Outdoorsmen. Strewman, Sam, and Mark, and Brandon behind the glass. And I tell you, we're pretty fortunate again. This is twice in the last 5 or 6 weeks. Sam Brown, don't you bring your buddy in, would you?
Yeah, absolutely. We have the originator of the Bone Collector from Booger Bottom, Georgia, Mr. Michael Waddell. How you doing?
What's up, gentlemen? Is it snowing yet there?
We've had a little snow, but nothing crazy. But we are making ice on the lakes, my man.
I'll tell you, hey,
15
Michael.
15 degrees tonight.
Yeah, Michael, I'll tell you, this is Steve Straczynski, and that was Mark. You heard them as well. We've spoken. Thanks for being on again. I'm 70 years old. We haven't had snow yet, really, just flurries. It'll be 15, 20 degrees tonight. I'm tired of winter already. I want to go down to Booger Bottom, wherever you are. I just don't like it anymore, man. I just don't like it.
I don't blame you. My wife and I, right now, sitting out on our porch, and it's actually probably about 60 degrees, and we got a fire and under a heating lamp, so we're that's not any exaggeration. I'm sitting with my squirrel dog and my wife, and we got a nice fire, pecan wood, and just relaxing right here, man.
It's like, are you making music with a whiskey bottle or something? What do you call those?
Yeah, exactly.
A jug, yeah.
It is funny. I've always said, you know, that's one reason when us Southerners come north that we actually do pretty good hunting, because we're so cold that we actually come up with a pretty good strategy to get it done. We don't want to be out there long.
Yeah, you're a smart man. Go ahead, Sample.
Well, speaking of hunting, Michael, I wanted to bring you on because, you know, that Realtree released that, I'm going to call it a short film, about you. And I know you guys did put that together. And man,
the Not Satisfied one?
Yeah.
That was incredible. Yeah, that was an incredible video.
Yes, it's well done.
My gosh, man. Like that. I texted you, man. I'm honored to call you a friend. And I appreciate, you know, that video. And I shared it and we shared it. And I want a lot of people to watch that. But I just thought you hit a couple good points. You know, like, you are who you are. We are who we are. And first of all, what was the reasoning behind doing that film? Why don't you talk just a little bit about that?
Well, first of all, Sam, thank you, buddy. Those comments mean a lot, and it was a very humbling piece. Actually, it was done by Realtree, and Realtree, it was completely their creative idea, not just to do one on me. They did one on probably, I don't know, I think they got 7 or 8 different people that they picked out that are close to the Realtree family that they produced this little short film. I think that does best describe it. It's on YouTube. And obviously, you know, I got my career started there when I was really young and always grew up hunting and fishing. And so the idea, you know, Realtree just wanted to kind of do some stories and call it Be Real and kind of the real story behind some of these people that some people might have seen on TV shows, or in you know, in this case, me working for those guys and doing Realtree road trips, now Bone Collector. They also did one on Jacob Wheeler, you know, the professional bass fisherman who's really just tearing up the scene right now. They also did one on a couple of the Duck Commander guys. I think Justin Martin, they did one on T-Bone. So anyway, I really was blown away because I didn't know, you know, you do a lot of things like that, you know, where you sit down and talk to people and interview. But, man, I'll be honest, it really hit home even with me, because it was kind of, for one, I was very humble, but also it made me feel a little bit old. I was like, oh, my goodness, no wonder I got gray hair in my beard, man. It's been a long time, you know.
Hey, Michael, it's Mark here, and I just wanted to – one thing I loved about that video is it highlights the amount of hard work it really took for you to get where you are. And I think in this instant gratification society, people don't realize – how hard people like yourselves had to work to get where you are. They just assume that, you know, someone called you and all of a sudden you're a TV star. But, you know, you worked so long holding the camera, editing stuff, and, you know, you put, 10 years in before you really did a lot of stuff on your own. So I do appreciate that, and I think it's a great lesson for younger outdoorsmen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mark. And yeah, I think that was cool to see too, because looking back, you know, I think I mentioned even that piece, you know, I'd see a door crack, or, you know, some of the people at Realtree would open a door, you know, and you'd go in it. You don't get to go in a door unless you work your way through it, and you're expecting to kind of jump in the trenches on the other side of that door. And so for me, I was so passionate just about having a chance to work in the industry. And I really think that no matter what you do, if you put a lot of hard work ethic behind it, even if you're doing something wrong, you're still doing something right. And I don't think that's been completely lost, but I do know that a lot of times, you know, in America, we're failing to realize that you earn what you get, and you get out of something what you put into it. And nothing happens overnight, typically, and those things that are best are fought hard for. And, you know, and when you get there, obviously you look back, and you're going to make a lot of mistakes. You're going to look in personal and professionally, you're going to make mistakes, but you still keep going. And so I that piece did remind me of the work, and it definitely – looking at it, and I think I said it also in that piece, man, if I can make it being from Booger Bottom, Georgia, just winning some turkey calling contests and having a passion for the outdoors, I think it does speak to the American dream, and it still is alive. I really believe it's still alive. I think it's harder fought for now than ever, but it's still there if you're willing to work and, you know, not necessarily look for something for free, but go out there and get it.
Yeah, but for a lot of guys like me, who's a left-handed Polack from the east side of St. Paul, I have a disadvantage, but I'm going to keep on striving, pal. Going to keep on striving. Hey, I'll tell you, we're talking with Michael Waddell. Of course, he's the guy from Bone Collector with, I think, Nick Munt and T-Bone are the other guys on your show and all that. And good for you to become the success you are. Does it bother you that you are – everything's transparent. Almost everybody in the world who is – loves the outdoors, knows who you are, what you're all about, even to the point where I was on your Facebook page and everything else today where they were asked, I know what your, if this is accurate, your financial net worth is. I mean, does it bother you that there's no place to hide? Can you go out and have a couple of beers without, you know what I'm talking about?
You know, it's funny. You know, I still can in certain areas, and it is kind of funny. I can go to the bigger cities and you really don't find a lot of people that recognize you. I can go to the small city, even around, you know, y'all's neck of the woods and where, you know, some of the commercial advertising on the show here. And it's funny, man, it's like a family reunion. I just speak a little different, you know, have a different accent. And it is like a homecoming. And it really isn't, it's not bad. It's cool because it really does feel, you feel like family. I don't know. It's like I've never even seen those people who support what we do as fans. It almost feels like family. And, you know, and there is stuff, obviously, when you're out there in the show world and you live in life in the public, and what you do is express to the public through video and podcasts and radio like we're doing tonight, obviously that is something that you give up. You do have to give up a certain amount of privacy because you are living life in the public and you are a promotional, you know, advertisement for this culture we believe in. So with that is it. But at the same time, I'm very transparent. I'm you know, pretty much, I'm not a guy that can keep a secret. The good and bad that I've done in my life is out there. I own up to the bad, and I stay humble about the good. So for me, it doesn't bother me that bad. The only thing I don't like is people that get to talking and spitting stuff, and they don't know the facts, you know, or mm-hmm. or maybe they look at that, they're hunting in high fence, or they doing this, or they doing that, and, oh, that's a farm deer, that. Well, first of all, you know, that aggravates me more than anything is because people are just doing it out of sloth and hate mm-hmm. and jealousy. And for me, I'm like, dude, that ain't what you should be hating on me for. If anything, if I can do it, then you certainly could do it. I've never claimed a better hunter than anybody else. Just get out there and do it. So a lot of that stuff don't bother me as much. And sometimes my kids get aggravated. They'll be wanting to go to a ball game and hang out, and next thing you know, I'm sitting there talking with four or five guys I've never met, and we're looking at trail cam pictures.
Yeah, yeah.
Throw the ball with me.
Yeah. Go ahead, Sam.
I can contest to that because when we went out to eat down in your neck of the woods down there, Michael, we sat at our table for 45 minutes before you got there just trying to get from the hostess table to where we're eating. And I mean, kudos to you, man. When you say they're family, it's because you treat them like family. Like, anyone who grabs your arm or says hi to you, you take the time. And because that's what I loved about this video. You are who you are. I've been able to hang out with you, you know, off camera. And it's truly who you are. And that's what meant the most to me about this, because that's why I wanted to share it for the world. So after the Stu, you got a question there?
No, go ahead, finish, but I'll be next.
Yeah, I was just gonna, because I was gonna change subject and see how his hunting was going so far this fall, because my gosh, I've been seeing all your posts of all the whitetails you've been killing, my man.
Man, so far it has been great, and I got back. You know, we went on our, I call it the rutcation. We left on about 3 weeks.
That's funnier than hell, man. That's funny.
Deer. and it was good, man. Like, went to Kentucky and didn't get one in Kentucky, but had a great hunt. And then on to Illinois and on to Kansas. Got two nice bucks there. And just Cohen Stone, our producer, who you met, Sam, when we were hunting at the Rambo Ranch for turkey, he got a really nice buck up in Illinois. And then we got a really nice pair of bucks up in Kansas, my man Nick Munt. So it's been good. And now I'm home. My wife killed a really nice buck earlier in the year, and so now my little five-year-old boy and I got my 14-year-old boy, man, that's all they want to do is hunt. So we got everything ready. So it's, the temperatures, man, this, we're about to get – we got our first frost. We got it this past Saturday, so that's let you know how south we are.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be 32 tomorrow night and 30 – like, we're supposed to get two nights in the 32, you know, at freezing. So, man, these old bucks, they just like us. They can't stand it where all the – women, folks, men getting out hot chocolates and blankets. You know, these bucks are like, man, I got to get on my feet and go eat. So it should be good next few days here in Georgia. So I'm going to take my kids.
Hey, we're talking with Michael Waddell of Outdoor Channel's Bone Collector. If you want to see him, I think he'll be on tonight at 8:30 here in the Twin Cities.
Yep.
And the Outdoor Channel is on Tuesday as well. Nine or 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. I tell you what, one of the best things I got about your 11-minute video that we were talking about from Realtree, which really is going to benefit me, and thanks for the idea, is now every time my phone, I get a text like at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, my wife is suspicious, I'll just say it's the radio sponsors, you know, just checking on me, this kind of stuff, you know.
That is true, man. Yeah. You can use that line about the trail cameras.
Absolutely,
that was,
man.
The truth, man. Those trail cameras will text you, and I didn't know I had my notifications on. So all night my phone is burning up. And so one night I look, my wife's looking like, who is this whatever weird number? And I was like, it's not only just a big buck, it's just a big buck.
Yeah, so you know, it's funny because it's almost even if you don't hunt, it's like worth getting a trail camera and putting it out in the woods just so you can use that as an excuse. Go ahead, Mark, and I want to finish up with one as well.
I just want to, one thing that interests me in the video is you talk about pecan farming. So is that for deer feed, or do you actually farming like pecans and selling them?
Well, we actually farm them to sell. So my wife and I bought this farm in 2015 and had no intentions of becoming pecan farmers. And so anyway, as it turned out, we cleaned it up and was kind of trying to make it look a little better and trying to bush hog and stuff like that. And we realized that they were all pecan trees, and we had about 80 acres of pecan trees. And so we ended up got to kind of call some mentors down in South Georgia, and now we're farming them, and last year we produced about 25,000-30,000 pounds, and this year we're on track to do close to that. So it's been pretty cool. The market's been a little off, so they've been a little lower prices than normal, but it can be lucrative. It can be pretty solid, but it's been a learning curve for my wife and I and my whole family, because we've been, learning a lot about it. But it's been a lot of fun, and it's been aggravating. It's been a little bit it's obviously been expensive, too, to get all the equipment. But, yeah, we full bore. Matter of fact, I sent Sam home with some of those pecans. He came during the spring, and I had some left over, and I sent him home.
Yeah,
we sent him home. I think we had the flight overbooked.
We did, and it wasn't just some. It was a 50-pound sack of them, and I think that I split them up between my family, and my dad loves them. I think he ate about 30 pounds of them himself. But, hey, that's what I was going to plug in there, that they're pretty damn good.
Man, that is awesome. Hey, big man needs a big sack of pecans.
Hey, you said it.
Hey, I'll tell you what, Michael, I got to ask you this. Number one, what was the Reluctant Outdoorsman? Was that a different show or a different episode? What is the Reluctant Outdoorsman?
Yeah, that was a show that was an Outdoor Channel original, and they had one of their producers who didn't hunt or fish, and reason they called it Reluctant, and they was giving him an opportunity to go with some of these people that people might have seen on TV, from different fishermen to different hunters. And so they had just asked me if I would kind of host him. And so my wife's a nurse, and it was funny because he came down and hunted deer with us and actually got him a doe. And it's funny, we had him also riding dirt bikes. And this guy was a complete slicker. No offense to any city. But this guy ain't done nothing. I don't think he had done anything but maybe ride elevators and escalators and Escalade. You know, that's it.
That's funny.
So,
Yeah. Hey, I'll tell you
so
what.
Anyway, he got on a dirt bike and he crashed and ate it bad on about the second lap. And so my wife was having to nurse him, thought we broke his ribs. And so anyway, I don't know if he had fun or not. He would probably be reluctant to come back to Booger Bottom. But that's what that was. That was just a little a series they did for one or two years. And it was just this particular guy who would never picture to go out on any outdoor adventures. And that was kind of the fun of it, is to take this somewhat of a nerdy, cool guy and just take him hunting and fishing.
Hey, Michael, next time we have you on, we're going to have you on for two sections here because there's just way too much to talk about. And I've got to hear the whole story about the No Kansas tag because it's wonderful. I saw the video, and I think it was Nick who was doing some talking about him, and you're supposed to help. Don't mention anything right now, but it's really, really funny. What happened, where you were, it's just a great, great story. We're going to talk about the No Kansas tag next time you're on the show. Hey, Sammy boy, you send him out, will you?
Yeah, we appreciate you coming on, man. Like I said, as soon as I saw that, I wanted to get you on. I sent it to the boys right away. So I appreciate you. I appreciate what you do for this industry, and I wish you nothing but the best. You guys have a happy Thanksgiving, and if I don't talk to you, have a Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Well, same to you guys and to all my northern blood brothers and sisters. God bless y'all, and if y'all get down south, y'all come by and eat some fried chicken and collard greens with us. We love y'all up there, too. Like I said, we speak a little different, but we share the same culture, same values, and love to sit down, drink a cold beverage with you guys, and maybe go ice fishing. But I'm gonna make y'all better make sure y'all got me some good jackets.
All, right. All right, man. Take care.
Thanks, right, buddy. Man. Take care of yourself.
All right. See you guys.
Bye-bye. Hey, next on the Thor Outdoorsman, we've got Maria Stevenson from Clam Outdoors. Going to talk a little bit about early ice fishing.
Listen to Total Country Bob FM anytime, anywhere, online at mybobcountry.com.
It's that time of the year, and Devil's Lake is the destination. I'm thinking of fall walleyes in the morning, bird hunting in the afternoon, and a ribeye steak in the evening. Devil's Lake, North Dakota just might be the premier city in the country for multi-species hunting and fishing all in the same trip. Hey, we're blessed to make a couple of trips to Devil's Lake every year. It truly is an outdoor lover's Disney World. Bring your fishing rod, bring your shotgun, bring your golf clubs, bring your family. Visit devilslakend.com.
Call DeZiel Heating and AC when you need dependable, affordable, and professional furnace repair at your West Metro or Wright County home. DeZiel knows the feeling when your furnace goes out during a cold winter day. If you have a unit that's ready to roll over, DeZiel's team of licensed and certified HVAC technicians are here to help. DeZiel's trucks are stocked to repair any furnace system and can get your house warm and cozy again. Suspect a problem? Call the top dog today before your furnace goes out. They will come running to your rescue before it is too late. DeZielHVAC.com.
Mark here, and it's been an honor for us here at the Four Outdoorsmen to partner with Clam Outdoors. We trust Clam with our safety by wearing suits with motion float technology. We use fish traps by the company that started it all, and Clam Pro Tackle is simply the best in the business. Most of all, the pros and employees at Clam have become great friends over the years, and great people make a great company. Visit clamoutdoors.com and join the family.
Early ice, northern pike, and Ely is the best. And Arrowhead Outdoors Bait and Tackle, well, they're going to help you find them. So whether it's pike, walleye, crappies, or trout, our friends at Arrowhead Outdoors are going to take care of you. If you've never fished lake or winter stream trout, Ely's the place, and Arrowhead Outdoors is the place to start. If you love fishing, hunting, hiking, this place truly is the best. Visit Arrowhead Outdoors, elymn.com, and thank you.
Get ahead of the game and get your ATV trailer into Crystal Welding for repairs before hunting season. Crystal Welding in Maple Grove services all trailers. Crystal Welding is also your local Hinneker dealer, carrying Hinneker snowplows and winter accessories. Get your repairs scheduled now and be prepared for the season before it starts. Stop in to schedule or go to crystalwelding.com for more information.
Crystal Welding gets the job done. No time to small.
Want to enjoy the outdoors? Forget bird watching or walking around on your own 2 feet like a sucker. The best way to entertain the fam is start ripping around on a new ATV or boat with help from my friends at Power Lodge. For over 20 years, Power Lodge has sold and serviced boats, ATVs, UTVs, sleds, golf carts, and now Rambo electric bikes. Make your next outdoors experience great at Power Lodge, 3 locations in Ramsey, Brainerd, and Onamia, or online at powerlodge.com.
Country Bob FM.
Welcome back to the Four Outdoorsmen. I'll tell you what, we're going to get right to it because we got Maria Stevenson on the show tonight. Maria, are you there?
I am here.
How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Every day's a gift, young lady. Every day's a gift. You were at the at Blaine Sports Center for the Fishing Expo Extravaganza, whatever it's called. Pretty busy, right?
Yeah, it was. Saturday was unbelievably busy, and today, this was my first show, so I've heard usually Sundays are pretty slow, but it was pretty steady most of the day.
Good for you.
Awesome.
Good for you. Now, of course, you're married to Jim, and he's a big shock. His face is all over the place. But you tell me you're a better fisherman than he is.
I'm sorry, what was that?
You tell me you're a better fisherman than he is.
Oh, absolutely.
What is your favorite kind of fishing, open water or hard water?
I prefer hard water. I do some open water, but not as much as hard water.
All right, so tell us what we can expect. Now, ice is starting to freeze up a little bit here. Water, of course, is freezing up. And I won't be in a couple of weeks we're going to be doing what we have to be doing to go ice fishing. Give us some early ice tips as far as, not safety just yet, but how would you start your presentation, let's say in 3 weeks, if you're going to walk out on one of your favorite lakes?
Absolutely. Always make sure there's at least 4 inches. If there isn't 4 inches, you're not safe, and no ice is ever going to be safe. Just make sure that you're checking it as every step you go out. I always suggest going out with a partner, somebody that's going to be there just in case. And then make sure that you're checking the ice every step, that you have an ice suit that floats. That's huge.
An ice suit that floats. If I was going to buy one of those, where would I buy it?
So I am a pro staff for Clam, so I'll have to say Clam.
Clam Outdoors. As a matter of fact, we all have one, and I did a video a couple of years ago in my hot tub at the cabin to see how it worked, and it blew me away, man. It was really, really, really cool, you know. So either you get yourself a float suit, or if you're going to go out on the early ice, have Mark and Sam go in front of you to double-check to see if the ice is...
Yeah, sure, you're always safe fishing with us, because you are not going in if we are.
No, I won't.
If I go in front of you, there's a new island stuck in that ice somewhere.
Maria with Clam Outdoors, hey, thanks for being on the show. Okay, where are you going to go fishing as soon as you can? What are you going to be fishing for, and how are you going to go after them?
I love panfish. I am a bluegill and crappie girl all the way. We usually go to a smaller lake up by Mille Lacs Lake. We live by Mille Lacs, so when the ice is good enough out there, that's where we usually can be found. But for early ice, we usually go out to Shakopee Lake, which is just right outside of Mille Lacs, and hit the bluegills there. I love using the dropkick jig from Clam with a Mackie plastic, the Whammy. It's brand new, so it's pretty exciting.
How deep will you be fishing right now? Because how do you compare this time of the year as compared to maybe early spring when the water temperature is about the same? How deep are you going to start fishing?
I usually, with that, like, it's a little shallower, so I would say right around five feet.
All right. And you're going to be using one of the plastics, right? The Mackie plastic, what you're talking about, that's what you're going to start with?
Yep, the Mackie plastics, the Whammy. It's a new plastic that came out.
I ask this about everybody. What's your go-to color? If you only had one color to choose, what would that be?
I'm a red girl, red and pink.
All right. I'm going to ask you a couple more questions, and we have I'm going to ask you. We were talking at the Blaine Sports Center today, and I saw a machine behind you that Clam is now promoting as well called the Snow Dog. What in God's name is the Snow Dog? And try to describe it if you can.
So the Snow Dog, it's like a altered snowmobile that you can ride behind. You can put all kinds of gear in there and take it out. You can ride it on the snow, you can ride it on the ice, you can ride it on trails. It's a track machine, and it's got the one that we have has, it's a pro, and it's got a long track, and you can either get it with a track or two tracks, so one or two.
Oh, so we were talking about what you can do with that thing is go right through slush, I'm guessing, right? That's what it's for?
Absolutely. Yep, yeah. It kind of stays up on top. It weighs about 300 pounds, but it rides on top of the snow and slush.
How can someone see a photo of this and check out all of it, everything it has to offer?
Absolutely. You can find them on snowdog.com.
And so that's promoted by Clam. Is it made by the Clam as well?
Nope, we just partner with them.
Cool. Maria Stevenson, Clam Outdoors. Where is your husband going to be fishing as soon as ice comes? Same place with you, Shakopee?
Yeah. Most of the time we go out together. So.
All right. And do you have any big fishing trips or tournaments that are coming up in the next few months that you can talk about?
We don't really do fish a lot of fishing tournaments. We do a lot of volunteering with our house and helping people, like if they need a place to stay. We've helped with Hometown Hero Outdoors.
There you go.
And had some veterans in our house before. So.
That's cool. I'll tell you what, whenever you get something like that, you organize something with Hometown Heroes, do us a favor and stay in touch with us so we can help promote all the stuff you are doing with for your charity at work as well. We try to push that as strongly as we possibly can. Would you do that for us?
Absolutely, I will do that.
All right, you have a great time fishing. The first time you go out with your husband on Lake Shakopee, I want you to send photographs to us as well. Would you do that for us?
I absolutely can.
You take care of yourself. And you got to prove to me that you're out fishing Jim Stevenson, all right?
All right, sounds good.
Take care of yourself. Have a great night, and thanks for listening to the Four Outdoorsmen.
Absolutely. You guys have a great holiday.
You bet. Take care of yourself. Who do we have next? I got to find him. I got to find him someplace.
Corey.
What was Corey's last name?
Sura.
There you go. Thank you very much. Corey, are you there?
Hello.
Hey, Corey. How are you doing tonight?
Not too bad. How are you?
Are you still on the clock, sir?
Yep. A little bit longer here.
Yeah, I was talking to Corey earlier today because what hours do you work? Well, sunrise to sunset and sometimes even later, depending what's happening. Corey's with the DNR. What is your range? What territory do you cover in northern Minnesota?
I'm based out of Bedette. I pretty much cover Lake of the Woods County, and I also cover down to Upper Red Lake as well.
All right. How long have you been as a conservation officer, how long have you been with the DNR? And how did that come about? What is your background?
Yeah, I've been with Minnesota here just about a year and a half. Prior to that, I was with South Dakota Game, Fish, and Parks for a short time. And then before that, I kind of got my foot in the door with the, outdoor recreation or natural resource law enforcement, if you'll call it that. Out at Glacier National Park in northwest Montana, I took a seasonal law enforcement park ranger position out there to kind of start my career off. So obviously
this was kind of a dream of yours when you were a little kid. Who was your mentor when you were a young kid?
I wouldn't say super young. I really didn't figure it out until I was in high school. I kind of figured it out, and certainly I always looked up to my local conservation officer in the sandstone area there, Mr. Brett Grenmeyer, who is still on the force.
Really?
It's been a pleasure. To see it come full circle, doing ride-alongs with him in high school and college, and now I work with him. He's a partner, so it's really great.
That has to make him feel really, really good. I mean, it just has to. Whether he says it or not, it's got to make him feel good.
No, absolutely. Yeah, I can't disagree with that.
Yeah. All right, listen, now, of course, we steal most of our stories and guests from the Outdoor News, and we read the story about you. We're working with deer hunters and whatnot last week, maybe the week before, and decided to check some people, just check boats and whatnot on Lake of the Woods because we're wrapping up the fishing season, the open water fishing season. You caught three guys with 48 fish over the limit. How did you end up finding these guys? And just tell us a story about that, would you? And thanks for doing it, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's what we're here for. I guess as we find quite a few of our bad folks, good luck and good timing had a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
It was kind of late afternoon. I was just finishing up a late lunch snack sort of deal and kind of came to a T in the road and trying to figure out if I wanted to go right or left. And I just couldn't help but slip away to the public access down there at Wheeler's Point just to check a couple boats. I knew, fishing had been very good.
Oh, yeah.
The last couple of weeks, the fall fishing had been really good. so I couldn't help it but just go just check a couple boats before I get back to the deer hunters. And yeah.
So did you have to go out on the lake yourself? Were you in your boat just checking these things, or just on the boat ramp and checking boats as they came in or went out?
Yeah, I was just checking boats kind of as they were coming in. It was Sunday. It was the Sunday of deer opener. So folks, you know, late afternoon folks coming off the water and getting ready to head home. So, yeah, I was just at the access there. Didn't have to put my boat in or nothing like that.
All right, so when you... this,
what did they say?
Yeah.
When you busted them, did they have an excuse? Or are they just like, oh, you got us?
Yeah.
You know, they didn't have a whole lot of excuse. They, the one gentleman specifically did state, you know, they come up from a long ways away and they only fish the lake once a year or something, and the fishing was so good. Kind of going on and all, you know, it was... got a little greedy and a little selfish, so.
A little, I guess.
You know, how long have you been a DNR, a conservation officer again, please, in Minnesota?
A year and a half.
Just a year and a half. So is this the biggest over-the-limit case that you've gotten so far?
To date, yeah.
All right. One thing that bothers me, and I don't know who makes this decision, I think this is a grievous, if that's the word,
offense.
Offense, thank you very much. And I think we fine and penalize these folks way too little. I mean, $1,000 a man for these, if they've done it once, they've done it dozens and dozens of times. And they're getting fined probably $1,000 a man. Did they lose their license? Did you take any gear of theirs or anything like that? And could you have?
The gear thing was on the table. We could have done it. We didn't in this situation. Yeah, I would agree. There's a lot of folks out there like yourself. I've had many people reach out to me, you know, in their own time, you know, expressing what you're expressing to me right now. You know, I wish we could do more. I wish there's more. Unfortunately, there's, to some extent, there's things that are out of my hands. I can only do so much. And then just how our statutes and citations are written out. Sometimes I can do more. Sometimes I can't. So.
Yeah. You know, and I say that because I've poached dozens of times. I've never been. No, just kidding. I'm just kidding you. I don't catch enough fish to poach. To
yeah, we can't even catch our limits.
Yeah,
sure.
Mark and I do a radio show called The Four Outdoorsmen, and without guides, Devil's Lake guides and Arrowhead Outdoors up in Ely, we don't catch squat, man. But it's a lot of fun. What is the best part of being a conservation officer for you?
Oh, boy, there's too many things. You know, kind of just circling back to what we talked about earlier, Chip.
Yeah.
It's what I've always wanted to do. I know I've loved the outdoors and working in the outdoors since I was a kid, and I had some interest in law enforcement growing up too, and you know, it really tied the things together. And
do we have enough conservation officers? And if not, do we have enough funding for more conservation officers?
I can't speak to the funding side, I guess. I really don't know, to be honest. We could always use more, even if we had, I don't know, thousands.
Yeah.
You could always use more, it seems like. You know, it's like I was thinking to myself, you know, after making that case on the gentleman with the walleye over-limited, it's like, that's great, I made a great case, but it's always in the back of your head, and probably in the back of any game where it's like, okay, I caught one guy or I caught one group, but it's like, man, how many...
Yeah.
You're always wondering how many other folks did that over the weekend that you couldn't catch up with, or you didn't make contact with, or somebody didn't call them in, you know?
Right. I'm going to ask you one more question. Mark's giving me the wrap-up sign. We've got to bail out of here, but I'm going to ask you one more question and try to answer this sincerely. In a situation like this, would you handle it differently, be more aggressive or less aggressive, based on the personality of the perpetrators? If they're really nice and all that kind of, would you be less aggressive toward them as far as penalizing and all of that as compared to some guys who are just jerks? Or do you just look at the 48 fish?
Yeah, you know, it's tough to, on an over limit of that size, it's tough to even overlook, you know, if whether you're nice or not, or you're telling the truth or not, that's more than a simple mistake or not, or miscounting fish, you know.
Yeah.
I do tell most folks that I make contact with or if I do have to take enforcement action or write citations, I let them know, you know, if they're respectful to me, I'm respectful to them, and we try to reward honesty and truthfulness as much as we can.
All right. I appreciate it, young man. We got to wrap it up. Thanks for being a conservation officer, because of course, we do an outdoor show, and without you guys, it makes it awful, awful difficult to keep this thing going. So you guys take a lot of heat sometimes, undeservedly. Corey Sura from Northern Minnesota, someplace, Conservation Officer DNR. Thanks for being on the show. Keep doing a good job, and, yeah, man, keep doing it. Thanks for being there.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you having me on.
Be safe, man. Be safe. Marky, what do you got? We got the end of the show?
We got the end of the show. Well, it's time to go get some wings or something.
Yeah, thanks to our sponsors, of course, and thanks to all of you guys for listening. Next week, our show is already full. Katz Covers is going to be on. Bill Katz, one of our great, great sponsors. Hey, thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you guys next week. But before then, Marky's got something to say.
Get outside and make some memories, and happy Thanksgiving.